Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lighthouse. It is so good to see you this morning, and we are glad you are here. Anyone else glad you're here? Any day on this side of the grave is a good day, right? And on the other side of the grave is a better day if you know Jesus Christ. So we are so glad you're here. If you are a first-time guest, you should have got a card, a connection card. We encourage you to scan that or fill it out and turn it in at the welcome desk because we want to get to know you and we want to welcome you as our guest. We are so glad you're here. The first time you're here, we consider you a guest. If you come back second time, you're just our family, right? Because if we didn't scare you away the first time, then you're just part of us. We have a few announcements we want to let you know about. First of all, we totally dropped the ball. And we were supposed to pray over graduates last Sunday, but we got busy with hospitality and forgot all about it. So next Sunday, we are going to pray over graduates. And next Sunday, if we forget, I expect one of you to yell out and say, we're praying over graduates today, right? So keep us on track. So if you have anyone graduating from high school, from college, encourage them to come next week. If they came last week, that's okay. They can get double duty and come back. And we want to pray and bless their life and pray a blessing over them. Also, this Saturday, we want to invite everyone to a game night. I'm sorry, children, but it is for adults only. So age 18 and up. Did you hear that? Somebody was so disappointed. But you know what? We do stuff for the kids all the time. So this one is for adults. So adult game night this Saturday. It is at Gary and Melissa Lieb's house. If you do not know where they live, please see them. They can give you their address, or if you don't know who they are, you can go to the welcome desk and they have the address. So either way, grab that address, show up Saturday at 6:30 p.m., and we would love to play some games and hang out and fellowship with you. All right, also, please mark your calendars for the following Saturday. Everyone say May 25th. We are having our Target kickoff that will be right here at the church. Target is our outreach ministry we do every summer. It stands for Taking a Real God Experience to Town. And this year, we usually do it at the Cary Gazebo, right in the middle of town. But this year, we found out they're doing some construction in Cary, and we cannot use the gazebo. So how many of you know that God still has a plan? So as our outreach leader was praying about it, he felt like maybe we need to go to some other towns and spread the gospel and support some other churches. So that is what we are doing this year. So our May 25th, we're going to come here and talk about it, test out the equipment, check the hot dogs, make sure they're not poisonous. So we're going to be providing some food for you all. So come and eat with us. We're going to do some worship and worship God. But also Pastor Joe and I want to share our heart with all of you. And so we're going to do a volunteer training. Just what does it mean to serve? What does it mean to be a part of this body and the body of Christ? And I think our topic is going to be, am I my brother's keeper? And so we want everyone to come on May 25th at 11 a.m. right here. And that will be gearing us up for that first Target service, which will be June 5th. And that will be in Bucyrus. Everyone say Bucyrus. We are so excited. So in the middle of town, Bucyrus, we're going to be taking Jesus, and anyone that walks by is going to hear about it. So save that date as well. We have more information to come. And at this time, we are opening up to hospitality, our hospitality team, if they can come on up. And they have a few things that they want to share with you for Mother's Day. I think they're coming. Okay, so we want to wish all of you mothers a happy Mother's Day. We pray that you have a blessed day with your family and you enjoy your time together. And our hospitality team just wants to do a few things for our mothers today.
Good morning. Isn't this a gorgeous day out? Just beautiful. I want to start off with a poem that I have always had very dear to my heart. It's by Helen Steiner Rice. It's called A Mother's Love. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It's made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation. And it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many-splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender, guiding hand. Just want to say that that is very true of anyone who serves as a mother, and there are all types of mothers. There are mothers who give birth to children. There are those who serve as foster mothers. There are siblings who step up when parents are unable. There are those spiritual mothers. There are those who befriend a child who has no female role model in their lives. And there are those who pray for their friends whose mother has passed, and a myriad of others. Each one of them is a strong and vital presence in our lives for whom we are eternally grateful. So as we honor mothers today, we want to include each of these types of women in our recognition and celebration. So for our first recognition, we're going to make the ladies over 18 think. This will be difficult for some this morning already. Take your first, your middle, and your last name and add up how many letters are in all three of those. The person who has the most letters in their name will receive a prize. So if you can figure that out, how many you got? Anybody have 20 or more letters? They could still be counting. You're correct. Oh, Annalisa does. How many do you have? You have 20. Annalisa, how many do you have? 22. Anybody have more than 22 letters in all three of your names? 25. Wow. That's impressive. That's impressive. All right. Well, I think 25 is the winner, so come on up and get a prize. Do you have a preference, pink or purple? She said she'd kill it. No, you won't. No, you won't. There you go. Thank you, Jerry. I'm sorry, what? Does somebody have more? Okay. Congratulations, Annette. All right. Our next recognition will be for the female who's the most seasoned or oldest. Anyone, do we have anyone present older than 90? How about older than 85? No one older than 85? I was going to say, Sally, how old are you? Oh, she's 85 and a half. Do you have a preference, pink or purple, darling? Purple? All right, we got that. We got you covered. All right, for the next female, who has driven the farthest to be here today? Has anyone driven more than 50 miles? No? I know you're probably close, though. 45 miles, anybody? How many have you driven? 40-ish? Anybody driven more than 40? How about you, sister? That's more than 40. That's 60. Anybody further than that? Beautiful. Come on up. You want to tell us your name?
Olivia.
Congratulations. Thanks for coming. Oh, she's not leaving, I promise. She's not leaving. Come on up, buddy. That's okay. How you doing, bud?
Come on.
Oh, it's like, oh, I kind of like it. Yay. There you go. Our final recognition today will be the female who has the birthday closest to today. Does anybody have a birthday in the last week? Any female in the last week? Female, not your dad. I know it's your dad's birthday, Ava. I got it. Anybody have a birthday? May 27th? Anybody closer than May 27th? Brenda? Uh-oh.
It's a tiebreaker. We both have May the 27th.
Okay. No, I have a tiebreaker. Pick a number between 1 and 25, but don't tell me. Kendall, pick a number between 1 and 25. 17, what was yours? Kendall wins because my tiebreaker was 16. Kendall Bain. All right, thank you, ladies. Thank you all for all that you do for the church and for each of us individually.
Felicidades a todas las madres en esta mañana.
Congratulations, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers this morning.
Es un día muy especial.
It is a very special day.
No solamente aquí en esta iglesia, no solamente aquí en los Estados Unidos.
Not only here in this church or in the United States of America.
Sino que es un día internacional en todo el mundo.
But it's all over the world.
Así que somos especiales.
So we're special.
Dios nos ha dado algo tan maravilloso de poder engendrar a un ser humano.
God has given us a beautiful gift to be able to bear a human being in our womb.
Así que yo le invito a todas las madres que se pongan en pie.
So I invite all the mothers, please, to stand up.
Guardianas del hogar, le llamo.
They are the guards of the home.
Somos guardianas del hogar.
The warriors of the house.
Porque estamos velando por lo nuestro, por nuestros hijos, por nuestros esposos.
Because we are the ones protecting or guarding our kids and husbands.
Y sacamos fuerzas hay veces de donde no la hay.
And many times we get strength
ese amor
from
que
out
tenemos
of nowhere.
Tan parecido al amor de Dios.
Knowing that the love of a mother resembles
para no decir
God's
igual.
Love. Not to say the same love.
Porque nuestro Dios es maravilloso y su amor es incalculable.
Because our God is marvelous and His love is endless.
Así que un aplauso a todas las que no son madres, que me les den un aplauso a todas las madres.
So everybody who is not a mother here, please give a hand clap to the mothers of the house.
Atravesé tres países para llegar aquí a los Estados Unidos.
I traveled through three countries to make it to the U.S.
Y el miedo me atormentaba.
And I was tormented by fear.
Pero lo único que me daba fuerza eran mis hijos.
But the only thing that was giving me strength to make it was my children.
Y la decisión que habían tomado de poder venir hasta acá.
And a decision we took to get here.
Y yo dije, yo voy a estar con ustedes.
And I said,
como así nos dice el Señor a nosotros.
I told my kids, I will be with you on
hasta
this journey.
El fin.
As the Lord says to us, He
y
will be with
fuerzas.
Us until the end.
Y caminaba
and
cuando
we
no
walked,
podía.
And we traveled as we did.
Y iba adelante en el camino.
And I was walking before them.
Y parecía que no tenía miedo y que no estaba cansada.
Some people would think I was not afraid or tired.
Pero era para que ellos no vieran.
But I didn't want my
alguna
children
debilidad en mí.
To see any weakness in me.
Y eso lo hacemos nosotras las madres.
And that's what mothers do.
Dios me decía,
and God
yo
told
no te
me,
dejo.
God told me,
yo te bendigo.
I won't leave you.
Yo te saco adelante.
I will bless you.
Y eso es lo que quiero decirte
I
de parte del
you,
Señor hoy,
and I want
mamá.
To tell you this. On the name of the Lord, Mom.
El Señor te dice, yo te bendigo.
The Lord is telling you, I bless you.
Yo te saco adelante.
I will move you forward.
Dios te va a dar la fuerza.
And God will give you the strength.
Así que dale gracias al Señor.
So give God some thanks, right?
Porque eres una madre.
Because you're a mother.
Que espera en las promesas del Señor.
That waits upon the Lord.
Gracias porque sabe lo que es perdonar.
Thank you because you as a mother know what forgiveness
sabe lo que es aceptar.
Is. You know what acceptance is.
Porque uno ama a los hijos sobre todas las cosas.
Because mothers love their children above
y acepta
everything.
Lo que tenga que aceptar.
And they accept anything they have to accept.
Para poder ganarte a tus hijos.
To be able to win your children.
Dios no nos vira la espalda a nosotros.
God never
no
turns
nos cierra
his back
la puerta.
On us and never closes doors.
Y nosotros no se la cerramos a nuestros
and
hijos.
We don't close the doors to our children
y aún
either.
En medio de tanta rebeldía que pueda existir en alguno de ellos.
And in the middle of rebellion sometimes that they show.
Sabe que solamente hay una forma de poder cambiar eso.
You know there is only one way to change them.
Y se llama amor.
And that is called love.
Amor.
Love.
Eso que dice Primera de Corintios 13.
What 1 Corinthians 13
ese amor
says,
que debe surgir de nosotros en cualquier cosa que hagamos.
The love has to come from us in everything we do.
Porque sabemos que cuando falta ese ingrediente que es el amor.
Because we know when we lack that ingredient that is
venimos
love.
Venimos a ser como címbalo que retiñe.
We're just a metal that makes noses.
Y no hay valor en ello.
And there's no value in it.
El amor es muy importante en cada una de las cosas que hagamos en la vida.
Love is very important
porque
in everything we do in life.
En los cielos.
Because that's where heaven counts.
No hay otra forma.
There's no other way.
Y dice la palabra del Señor en 1 Corintios 13.
And the word of God says in 1 Corinthians 13, and I give you this word.
Mujer virtuosa, ¿quién la hallará?
Proverbs 31. It says,
mujer virtuosa, 10.
Who can find the virtuous wife?
Mujer virtuosa, ¿quién la hallará?
Who can find a virtuous wife?
Porque su estima sobrepasa largamente a la de las
piedras
preciosas.
For her worth is far above rubies.
Y dice el versículo 28.
And then verse 28 says,
se levantan sus hijos.
Her children rise up.
Y la llaman.
And call her.
Bienaventurada.
Blessed.
Tú eres una mujer virtuosa.
You're a blessed and virtuous woman.
Dios
keep moving
contigo.
Forward. God is with
Dios
you.
Está en control.
God is in control.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. You know, I was thinking this morning about Moses' mother. She had to hide Moses for 3 months, and then she had to somehow give him away. But God's purpose was fulfilled in the life of Moses in a big time. Sometimes mothers sacrifice things to see God's fulfillment in the life of their children. So every calling needs obedience. When God calls you to do something and you don't obey, the calling is not complete. Calling is completed by obedience. When we look at the schedule of this service that we are today, it says on the program, call to worship. Anytime Pastor Alicia, Pastor Joe, they put together what's going to happen in this service led by the Holy Ghost, the person who is calling for worship comes, either Jesse and April or whoever comes here, it says call to worship. So that's what we do here. We call the church to worship. Now, this call is not complete if you don't worship. So we're doing our part here. Just calling you out of your comfort zone, calling you out of your flesh, calling you out of all those things that you have in your mind, calling you out of those things that are against the will of God to worship the God of miracles. And I want each of you, and I encourage you today to be obedient to this calling, because God is looking and seeking those who can worship him in spirit and truth. Would you stand on your feet today and tell your neighbor, I'm going to be obedient to that calling. If you told the person on your left, tell the person on your right, I'm going to be obedient to that calling. And if you don't have anybody by your side, maybe there is an angel standing right next to you, and you can tell the angels in this house, I'm going to be obedient to that calling. And as we start this first song to worship God, we're going to also get ready to worship him by giving from our finances. We have established 3 ways to give: by check, cash, or via Venmo. And you can rejoice and be grateful to God for his giving you the strength to make money, and that way you can support God's kingdom. So let's worship the Lord. He is alive. He is here. He sees your heart. And he is almighty to do even beyond what you expect and believe. Amen.
Well, I've been turned round, but I've never been lost. Seen the water get troubled, but we walked across. When my knees were shaking,
They did that for a human video this year, and they wanted to share it with you. But God is good. Amen. Let's worship him this morning. He's worthy of every praise and hallelujah that we can give him today. Amen.
You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Jesus, when I met you, you called my name.
You.
all know the darknesses that we may be walking through, but there is nothing that can overtake the light. Amen. And sometimes we just have to remind ourselves and declare over ourselves who He is. Amen. Because sometimes it feels like the darkness will win, but it won't. His light is much greater. So let's sing that chorus one more time together. Let's just declare it over every situation. I know we all come in here with different things that are kind of wearing us out and holding us down, and it can feel dark. But let's remind ourselves this morning that He is the light. Nothing can overcome that light. Amen. Let's just declare it one more time this morning.
For you, He is for you.
your family, your children, and their children, and their children. His presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, He is with you. For you, He is 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 for you.
Thinking as we've been singing today, scripture came to my mind, and actually scholars say it's the most quoted Old Testament verse. It's talking about this passage right here that we're just singing, the blessings. And he says that the blessings would be upon you and your family for 1,000 generations. Sometimes we look at that verse and we see the part where it says that you can bring a curse on your family. But you know that says only to the third and fourth generation? Think about it. It said, if you don't walk in my ways and follow me, you can bring a curse to your family to the third and fourth generation. But if you follow after me, I'll pour out blessing upon you and your children, and your children's children, unto 1,000 generations. Wow. And then Jesus shows up on the scene and he reverses the curse, redeems what was stolen from us by his blood, purchased it back, and then gave it back to us. And so anytime then when we turn and follow Christ, we're redeemed and we fall underneath that blessing, and we bring blessing not only upon our lives but our lineage because of the redemptive nature of God. Sometimes I think we lose that and forget that because we live in a fallen world and everybody wants to point out all of your mistakes. Everybody wants to remember us by what we've done wrong and what we've messed up, not by what God has done for us. And that's why it's important that you take a moment every once in a while in your lives and you remind yourself of what God has done for you. The Bible says that old things have passed away, and behold, everything has become new. And you have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. That's a powerful statement, church. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. We hold on to things of our past, and we want to identify ourselves of things that's happened in our lives and to us. And God's saying, no, that's not who you are. You've been redeemed. And I have given you this new life. And now you live in blessing. You live in blessing. That's what this song is about. Unto 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing how God can just flip the script in one moment of time if we just use our faith and put it in him? He does the work. It's his power. It's his grace. We just receive it by faith. It's that simple. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many are thankful that he's done that for you? I'm so grateful that he flipped the script in my life. Yes. He redeemed me, set me free. And I want to share something with you, but I felt like that was necessary to say according to what we were singing and how we were praising God and worshiping him. But the Holy Spirit's been stirring something in me from the very beginning of our worship service as we begin to give our worship unto God. And I don't think it's an accident that this started rolling in my mind. I believe that this is what God is saying to us, and I wanted to share this with you. I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit, and it's relevant today even more so because we're celebrating mothers. And you have to understand that the Bible uses imagery, gives us a picture through words to help us understand what God's doing. Now, you cannot ever really compare what God's doing to earthly things and be exact. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's a heavenly thing. It's not of this world what God's doing. It's by his Spirit, and it's of another world. And God transcends. He's above time or space. He's not part of this earth. He created this earth, and he interjected himself into this earth, but he's bigger than that. And so what we do in our finite information, our finite minds, without knowing everything or understanding everything, we try to liken it to things we understand and know. And so I'm going to try and do that with you this morning, help you understand some imagery that Scripture has given us so that we can understand what God's done for us. The Bible talks about the church and the concept of a bride. Therefore, we are likened to being a female. And God gives us things and places things in us. And therefore, since we are in this union with him like a marriage, likened unto a marriage, then we receive things like a husband would give his wife. And it's a blessing he bestows on us, and then God does something within us and something is created, and it's done by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I want to just read this to you so you can understand where I'm coming from in Scripture. And it says, The angel said unto her, talking to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. We understand and know this is the birth of Christ, but it's also Emmanuel, or God with us. And what we were just singing is, he's going to go before us. So he's in our present, but he's also behind us. So that means he was in our past. And he's beside us, which means that he's in our present right now. And but when he's going before us, it says our future. I said that wrong. He's in our present and he's in our past, because God is outside of time and space, right? So he was in our past, he's with us now, he's in our future. But then it says, but he's within us. He's within us because by the power of the Holy Ghost, he has overshadowed his church, and that thing that he has placed inside of us is holy. It is Jesus Christ himself that we bear within us. Or God with us. And this is what I heard God saying in the Spirit. And I'm just going to declare to you, this is a prophetic word for this church. That God has placed something in the womb of this church. Remember, the church is considered a female. A woman. Man with a womb. Remember, this is imagery. God has placed something in our womb that has been growing and growing and growing. And we've even reached a place of discomfort because of what God has put in us and how it's growing. At times we've been uncomfortable because of what he's doing in us, because it's changing us. We don't look the same anymore. Because we have been impregnated with something by his Spirit. And it is yet to give birth. And God is saying this to us. Do not abort his plan. Because it's not looking like what you thought it was going to look like. Or happening when you thought it was going to happen. Or the way you thought it was going to happen. He's saying trust in him. And don't abort the plan, because that which is within you, Lighthouse, is from God. And it is a holy thing that if you wait in patience, when the fullness of time comes, you will deliver this thing and you will see my glory shine forth through you, so that people in your generation can come to know who Jesus Christ is. Is and be rescued and saved. This is the word of the Lord for this church today. I'll even say this to you, that there's times where the feeling of this thing has been lost, like a mother who all of a sudden is in a panic because they think to themselves, I haven't felt the baby move in a little while. What's going on? I haven't felt. Move. Is everything okay? And you mothers, you know better than I do. I have no idea what that feeling is like. And God's saying, it's okay. Everything is okay. Everything is developing the way I want it to develop. Just wait upon me. And I'm doing the work in you. And when the time comes, be ready to push. Be ready to press, to push in and press, and you will see your God deliver. You'll see your God deliver. The thing that I put in you will be birthed and come forth for my glory, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Can you just raise your hands right now? Father, we receive it. We thank you that you've redeemed things that we thought we lost, that you've brought them back to us. We thank you for health in this body, wholeness in this church. God, we thank you that you're delivering something through us that's going to change this generation around us for your glory, God. For your glory, God. And God, we wait patiently on you. We don't go by sight. We don't go by sight, Lord. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, you're moving, God. You're moving, God. And our trust is in you, Lord Jesus. I give you glory and I give you praise and I give you honor. Come on, church. Give him some praise right now for what he's saying to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord Jesus.
Pastor was talking, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me I'm supposed to share Ella's story. And this could be physically, but also metaphorically. Because when God births something in us, the enemy's going to want to come and attack and speak lies over a situation and tell us things. And we are not to believe those lies. We are going to stand on the word of God and what God says. And this is Ella's story. Jason and I have been married 21 years. We have a daughter who is 20 and Kale who's 17. And when Jocelyn was 12 and Kale was 9, we found out we were pregnant with Ella. She was a blessing and we were so excited. And when we went to our 20-week ultrasound, they told us that she did not develop right, that her brain wasn't looking right, her organs were in the wrong places. And they told us that we should just plan to abort her, like terminate the pregnancy, because there was no hope at all. That day, there just happened to be a cancellation at a place in Columbus, and we were able to get in there. And we called upon our church family, and they all prayed for Ella. And from the time we left Finley until the time we left or got to Columbus, Jason and I did not speak. We praised the Lord all the way there. We cranked the music up. We spoke in tongues, and we declared life over Ella. When they did the ultrasound that very same day, they said, nothing is wrong with this baby. She is perfect. Ella had her 8th birthday this week. Also, I had changed, because some people, when I told this story, said there was something wrong with that ultrasound that day. There was something wrong with the technician. She didn't read it right. We changed doctors. They read the ultrasound from that day and said what they saw on that ultrasound before we left Finley is exactly what they would have said. So I know she was healed. When the enemy comes to tell you lies, you stand upon the word of God and you believe that he is victorious.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Give him some praise. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jess, did you say it was 4 years? Where'd she go? Yeah, 4 years. She just came and testified to me during worship that she's been going to her gastro doctor and had ulcers that she'd been dealing with for years. And Waymaker was the song that she was told to stand on by her mother in the faith, said, just trust God. And we were singing that, and she said she just got the report. There are no more ulcers. They're completely gone. God has healed her and delivered her from that. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. And it's, see, here's the thing. This is where we miss it, church. It's not always in our timing. We want to set the timing. And a mother knows that you don't always get to say when the baby's coming. The baby comes and is delivered when God says so, right? When the baby comes, when the water breaks and it comes. And as a church, what God's speaking and reminding us right now is it's in His timing. The Bible even declares when the fullness of time had come, that's when He sent forth the angel to deliver the word. The word was spoken. The power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and God birthed inside of her our Savior, Jesus Christ. She had to carry Him. Think about that. From the time she was given that word by the angel Gabriel, she had to carry that child. No doubt there were things that came against her, accusations, hardships, trials. From the time she received the word, she had to carry it until it was time to give birth to Him. And that's what God speaks to His church. He says a word, and we think because God said a prophetic word, oh, it's happening now. No. We carry that word. We carry that word until God says it's time for it to happen. And God is stirring our faith this morning by these testimonies. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. We've heard two witnesses of the goodness of God and what He does. And God is speaking to us, and I don't want you to lose this moment, Lighthouse, because yes, there are things that are prophetic for the church at large, and there are things that God's doing in His church all the time, and we are a part of that, and we will always be a part of that. But there are specific seasons and times where God moves upon a group of His church. That's us. He begins to do something special in us. And so do not take this moment lightly, but understand and know what God is speaking and doing in us. We need to discern the times and the seasons we're in. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you one more time just lift your hands, give God some praise and glory for what He's doing amongst us? Hallelujah. We thank You that Your presence is among us. We thank You that You have manifested Yourself in this place today, Father. Hallelujah. We give You glory. We give You praise. We give You honor. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good, and I'm so grateful that we can come together and join together in celebration, not just celebrating moms or even women today, but we celebrate Jesus. Amen. Come on. Can we celebrate Jesus together and everything that He's done? Give Him some praise. He's such a good God, and we love Him dearly. At this time, we're going to transition, and I just want to say thank you all who helped out with the Mother's Day breakfast. We had a good showing. Yeah, go ahead and give them a hand. And appreciate you men jumping in and heading that up. And so we're going to go ahead and dismiss our students to go to your classes. We have a teen class this morning. We also have Firehouse Kids from ages 7 to 12. We have a preschool class, 3 to 6. And then we also have a nursery for your babies. You're welcome to take them back there. And we're so grateful for everyone that ministers to those kids and helps out what God's doing in our midst. You know, without children, we couldn't celebrate Mother's Day, right? And so the Bible says that children are a heritage from the Lord, and they are a blessing, and we're grateful for that. This morning, Pastor Alicia is going to come and minister to you. I love this woman with all of my heart. She is the mother of my children. I'm proud to call her my wife and be her husband. And so, God bless you, darling.
Thank you. Well, I was also very impressed with that breakfast this morning. And so now we all know at home, men can do way more than they let on. Didn't they do a beautiful job? Not only did it taste good, but it looked good. I was so impressed. They did a great job. So all of you husbands, don't hide your gifts in your house either. Share the wealth. I'm excited for the word that God has given me today. And I want to share a little pastoral direction, I guess, this morning. Because sometimes we come into a special day, and there's a lot going on, and you have plans after church, and you have all this, we've already had all this stuff going on today. But how many of you know the word of God is important? And it's not any more or any less important today than it was the last time it was spoken or the next time it is spoken. And I want to share with you that our expectation as pastors is that anyone who ministers from this pulpit has sought the face of God. They're not bringing a word because it's a special day and they're trying to be creative about the word to match the situation. That's not what it's about. It's about seeking God and speaking what God has to say. And we expect that for anyone who ministers. And so this week I've sought God and he's given me a word. And so I've done my part. And I'm going to ask you to do your part. Because that's to be a hearer of the word. And a what? And a doer. So let's stay focused on the word of God and what he has for us today. Everything else today will take care of itself. It'll all be his timing, right? Let's give him the time that he deserves. And we want to focus on him. So last week we started a series. We didn't realize it was going to be a series until this week we started talking about it. But Pastor Joe talked about demonstrate. So demonstrate. And isn't that what the world needs? People to demonstrate who Christ really is. Not what they think. The world says, find your own truth. No, there is the truth of Jesus Christ, and it is the job of the church to demonstrate the truth in this day and age. And so demonstrate is, we need a demonstration of God's power through his people. So when Jesus walked on this earth, he demonstrated, did he not? He did it very clearly, very boldly, very consistently. He demonstrated everything God wanted him to do. But even while he was on earth, he began to empower his followers and send them out and said, now you go and you demonstrate. You cast out devils. You heal the sick. You see people saved and delivered. You do it. And it is still our job today, church. Jesus is not walking among us in bodily form. He is depending on us to demonstrate who he is to this world. Anyone think the world kind of needs it? That's the only thing that's going to change this society and this generation is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to do a short recap. Last week, my husband preached about demonstrate holiness. It is probably the best message on holiness I have ever heard preached in my life. And I'm a Pentecostal girl born and raised, so I've heard a lot. So if you missed it, go back and watch it because it was great. And the only recap I'll give from it is that holiness is not something we own, not something belongs to us, not something we can do. It is just the very essence of who God is. And the only way that we can be holy is to be in close proximity to him. It rubs off on us. The closer we get to him, the holier we become. Not because we're making it happen. Not because we're creating a list of rules of do's and don'ts. It just becomes more natural for us as we are naturally drawing close to him and spending time with him. And so throughout the years, the church has created it to be something it's not. It's not about us trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong. It's about us being close to the one who knows what's right and what's wrong, and we're just doing what he tells us to do. It's as simple as that. And so last week, we used the scripture 1 Corinthians 2:4. And this was Paul who spoke and said, my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And I want to remind us that if we think it's about our words, number one, we spend a lot of time worrying about if we're going to say the right thing, how it's going to sound. Anyone ever nervous to pray out loud? You know why you're nervous to pray out loud? Because you think it's about you. It's not. It's not about the way you say the word. It's not about your tone of voice. It's not about how loud or how powerful you get. It is all about Him. And if we think it's about our wisdom and we can convince someone, Pastor Joe said this last week, and it's so good, and we need to understand this. If we can convince someone to follow Christ because of our words, someone else can convince them to do something else because of their words. But if they are convinced because of the demonstration that is within us, no one can take that away from them. When they see the experience of what it means to follow Christ, they may not understand it. They may not be able to explain it, but they can't deny it. And no one can convince them that God is real when they have seen the power of what God can do through His people. Sister Natalie, no one can deny that Ella was healed. When one ultrasound clearly shows, to this day, if they look at the ultrasound, they would say, she is not going to make it. She is not okay. Still, it's on paper. But then this another ultrasound the same day says, wait, she's perfectly fine. How did that happen? Because it's a demonstration of God's power. And this is what the church needs to get back to, amen? It's not about our wisdom. It's not about what we can come up with, what events are creative and going to draw a crowd. We can have the biggest crowd in the world, but if we don't have the power of God, it changes nothing. And so, church, we need to demonstrate who Christ is. We talked about three things. Demonstration has to start with a revelation. You have to know who Christ is for yourself. I can't know Christ because of what my father said He was. You can't know it because of what your grandparents said or what you saw in them. That's great. But who is He to you? Because when He reveals Himself to you, that's what transforms you. That's when you start drawing near to Him and you're getting into His holiness and His power and His majesty. Because you know who He is. And that revelation will change the way you think, the way you speak, because it will begin to manifest. When He has been revealed to you, it will begin to manifest in everything that you do. Aren't you glad that you don't have to stay the old person? The closer I get to Christ, the more I realize how bad the old person was. Anyone else feel that way? I used to think I was okay. And I keep getting closer to Christ. I'm like, I really wasn't okay. I'm really pretty yucky without Christ. I don't like myself without Christ. He begins to manifest through us. And then we don't have to make ourselves demonstrate. We are a demonstration. A good demonstration. Because guess what? You're demonstrating something. No matter what. But we need to demonstrate Christ. And so today we're going to go into demonstrate purity. And we are talking about the bride of Christ today. And Pastor Joe knew that this was going to be our message, but I love how the Holy Spirit brought a prophetic word. And we're going to talk about that a little bit at the end, because He did not know that I was going to talk about reproduction, but the Holy Spirit did. And I just love that, how He aligns things. So first of all, I want to talk to you men for a minute. Because a Mother's Day message is not just for mothers, right? We don't ever speak a message that isn't applicable to everybody. And sometimes when we think about the bride of Christ, men are a little uncomfortable with that. They find it hard to wrap themselves around, how can I be a bride to Christ? And so here's what we really need to start with, is it's not about gender. It has nothing to do with gender. It's all about the characteristics of what a bride is and what a bride does. And even talking to my husband, we've had this conversation that sometimes as a man who is the provider for your home, because that's the God-ordained way it's supposed to be, sometimes men have a hard time realizing that Christ is your provider. And sometimes you get in this mentality that I have to figure it out. I have to do it. I have to make this happen. And can I tell you, there's so much freedom in getting to the place where you understand I surrender to Christ and He empowers me to make it happen. And then you lead your family the best. That is the best format. If you do it in your own strength, you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to be exhausted, and you're probably not going to do it right. Not being mean, just being honest. Because our minds are not smart enough to figure things out. But God is. And so, speaking from a woman, we need men to step up in their roles as submitting to Christ. And let's look at the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. So I love this because Wednesday night Bible study, if you missed it, you're missing some good teaching. It's really good. I love it. It's a lot of practical leadership. But at the end of the lesson, Sister Sandy stood up and said, I have something to say, and it's a little off topic. Because we weren't talking about submitting at all. But isn't it interesting how God, again, just lines things up? And she got up and talked about how, you know, it's not popular, but the Bible says wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. Ladies, is that what the Bible says? It is. And for different reasons, because, again, I grew up in Pentecost, and I've seen this done very wrongly. I've seen men who would abuse the scripture and take that to mean my wife is my servant, to take it to mean that I can command you to do whatever I want, but you need to be quiet, shut up, sit down, sit in the corner. And that is not. Let's read the whole scripture because that's not what it meant. But, women, we need to obey the scripture. And when it says submit to our husbands, we need to submit to our husbands. And my question is, if we find it hard to submit to our husbands, are we even submitting to Christ? I'm guessing the answer is probably not. If you can't submit to your husband, you're probably not submitting to Christ either, and you're really doing it all on your own. So we may not like it in this world of feminism, but I can tell you God's way, God's order is always best. This is the healthiest form of marriage and relationship when this whole scripture is followed. So wives, we do submit to our husbands, but husbands, listen to this next part because this is where the church has missed it for years. Verse 25, husbands, this means love your wives. Does he stop there? No, because that could mean a lot of different things, right? That could be interpreted a lot of different ways. But he said, love your wives as Christ loved his church and gave himself for her. Does that sound like a man who is going to put his wife down, who is going to rule her and keep her under his thumb? Absolutely not. Can I tell you that as my husband loves me, as Christ loved the church, as he demonstrates that love for me, it's a whole lot easier for me to submit to that. Because I know it's not about him either. It's not about him coming to me and saying, this is the way I want it done. It means we're seeking God together, and he's submitting to Christ, and I'm submitting to him, which is ultimately submitting to Christ. And our home is blessed under the favor of God in that format. So husbands, ultimately, it starts with you. If you want to see your household change, you step up and begin to love your wife as Christ loved the church. I promise you, you will see a transformation in your home, not only in your marriage, but with your children. You will also see a transformation, I believe, in your finances, in your job, in your relationship, in your health. Because if you are submitting to Christ, he's giving you clear direction in every area of your life. And then you're loving your wife the way you're supposed to. Can I get an amen from the women? We need husbands to love us. So, but I'm also not just talking to married people today. because we're going to get into the bride of Christ submitting to Christ. And so this is what he goes on to say. Christ said he gave up his life for her, for the church, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this so he could present her to himself as a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. Instead, she would be holy. We talked a lot about holiness last week, and without fault. So today we're going to talk about what are the characteristics of a bride, who is the bride, how do we become a bride, and why does it even matter? Why do we even need to understand this concept? Why did Jesus even talk about us being a bride? So number one, what are the characteristics of a bride? We need to be clean. Anyone take a shower this week? Do you feel a little more clean after you take a shower? My husband makes fun of me because I'll just be real with y'all. I don't like showers. I feel like they're a waste of time most of the time. So unless I'm really dirty and really sweaty and then I see the end result, like, yeah, I needed a shower because now I'm clean and I wasn't before. I do still take showers. I just don't like it. But spiritually, we need to be cleaned. And that can't happen through your physical shower. You could take a shower twice a day and be clean on the outside, but not clean on the inside. And to be the bride of Christ, he is requiring that we be clean. We are not acceptable to him if we are not clean. And so I want to read a verse in Ezekiel chapter 16 about this. And this was God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel to the children of Israel, to his nation, who now we have all been engrafted into that. And this is where they started from. And I can tell you that I think that we can all see ourselves in this as well. So starting in verse 6, it says, "But I came by you," this is God, "I came by you, and I saw you there, helplessly kicking about in your own blood." We sang the song this morning, "I came running out of the grave." And that's the truth, because each and every one of us, whether we realize it or not, we are dead in our sins. In our filth, we have nothing good to offer until Jesus comes along and changes it. And so God says, "I saw you there. You were just laying there in your own blood. And as you lay there, I said, live. And I helped you to thrive like a plant in the field. You grew up and became a beautiful jewel. Your breasts became full and your body hair grew, but you were still naked." And naked is a sign of vulnerability. So even though you were maturing, even though you were growing, even though I had told you to live, you were still vulnerable. That anyone who came along could take advantage of you. And that's what, when we first get saved, we are in a place of vulnerability. That if we don't get connected and stay in the vine, the enemy will come and just snatch it away. Right? So important. And he says, so God said, "I passed by again and I saw that you were old enough for love. So I wrapped my cloak around you to cover your nakedness. And I declared my marriage vows." He took Israel in as his bride. "I made a covenant with you, says the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. Then I bathed you. I washed off your blood. I rubbed fragrant oils onto your skin. I gave you expensive clothing of fine linen, silk, beautifully embroidered, and sandals made of fine goatskin leather." Do you understand that they didn't deserve any of that? We don't deserve any of that. But because he loved us so much, he's willing to give and to transform us. So skipping to verse 14, it says, "Your fame soon spread throughout the world because of your beauty. I dressed you in splendor and perfected your beauty, says the sovereign Lord, but you thought your fame and your beauty were your own. So you gave yourself as a prostitute to every man who came along. Your beauty was theirs for the asking. You use the lovely things I gave you to make shrines for idols where you played the prostitute. Unbelievable. How could such a thing ever happen? And church, it's easy to look at that and say, how could they do that? Why would they do that? Don't they understand? And I think of, have you ever seen the Christian singer, or not Christian, but singers today who started in the church? They were grown up in church. They used their gifts and talents for God. God poured gifts into them. And as they got older, they went into the world, and they're using that gift for their own glory. And that's an example, I think, but then how many times do we do it in our own lives as well? God gives us wisdom, and we go into the business world, and we do well for ourselves, but are we giving it back to God? God gives us the ability to communicate, and we do well, we make lots of friends, but are we witnessing for the Lord? Are we bringing them back to God? What are we doing with what God has given us? Are we taking it for granted of where he brought us from, and we think that we've gotten here on our own, when in reality, we would still be dead in our sins without Christ? I think it's so important for us to remember, because when we remember where we came from, we can have a lot more compassion on that person that's still there. And I can say, don't look at me now. Let me tell you who I used to be, because there's hope for you. If he could do this for me, he will do it for you. The church, if we get self-righteous and think that we did this on our own, that we are where we are because of our goodness or our gifts or our talents, then the world thinks there's no hope for them. We have to be willing to share our story. We have to be willing to say, it's only by the grace of God. There's nothing good in me. And if we get too high and mighty and become too comfortable with who we've become, then we're pushing a whole lot of people away that God's wanting to come in as well. Those church doors are never closed. We're always, always enlarging, saying, come on in, there's room for you too. So number one, God wants to make us clean. That's the characteristic of a bride. It doesn't mean as much now, I think, but why did brides used to wear white? It showed they were pure. It showed that they were worthy of that man they were marrying because they had saved themselves. And here's the thing about Christ is none of us were worthy. None of us deserved to wear white. And that's why it says he had to give us the garment. He had to clean us first. There's a term when I was a teenager. It was called recycled virginity. Meaning if you messed up, it's not too late. Make a decision and start over. Aren't you thankful God still does that? He cleansed me, but guess what? Sometimes I get a little dirty again. And he'll cleanse me again. And I can come right back to him. He's so good and he's so faithful. So number two, the characteristic of the bride of Christ is that she has no spots, no wrinkles, no blemishes. Any women in here want to stand up and say that you meet those qualifications? I'm finding the older I get, the more blemishes I get, the more wrinkles I get, the more spots I'm getting. But in Christ, it's the exact opposite. The older we get in him should be the better we are getting in him. And if we're not, it's because of us, not because of him, because we're not drawing closer to him. The closer we get, he keeps cleaning and purifying and purging us and making us more like him, which is that beautiful without spot and wrinkle. I'm so thankful. This body is decaying, so I'm going to keep getting more spots. I've come to terms with that. I'll still try to cover it up with some makeup. But my husband sees me in the full blemish every morning. But with Christ, we just keep getting better and better instead of worse and worse. At least that's the way it should be. And then the last thing he says about the characteristic is she is holy and without faults. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because we talked about it last week. And if you missed it, go back and watch that sermon. It was so good. Because it's not on us to make it happen. To be a holy bride, I just need to draw near to him. And that should be easy for us, church. How many of you, when you were first in love, you wanted to spend every minute of every day with that person? You couldn't get enough of each other. You could spend all day and then go home and call them. I remember Joe and I at college, we would stand outside for hours and talk because we didn't want to leave each other. Now I'm like, it's 9 o'clock, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. But let's not be that way with Christ. Let's not lose that love. Because when you're in love with him and you're wanting to spend every moment of every day with him, it's easy to be holy. It's easy to be pure. It's easy to let him begin to cleanse and to wash and to transform us to be the bride he wants us to be. So who is the bride of Christ? Let's look at Revelation 19:7. It says, "Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready." Everyone say herself. Did Christ make her ready? Yes or no? No. He gave her everything she needed. But ultimately, we have to accept it. We have to be willing to walk in it. He can't make us do it. He won't make us do it. So the bride of Christ is whoever chooses to make herself ready. Anyone and everyone. Doesn't matter how young or old. Doesn't matter if you're man or woman. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. If you're willing to make yourself ready to be accepted by Christ, then you are. You are. Doesn't matter how much bad stuff you've done in your life. Doesn't matter how much guilt or shame you carry. Guess what? When you come to him, he washes it away. His bath is amazing. It is supernatural. There is no one that he cannot reach if they want to be reached. But that's the key. So if you're going to make yourself ready, you are eligible to be the bride of Christ. It says, it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, meaning you had the option to clothe yourself with fine linen. You can choose to walk around in your old rags if you want. But those beautiful clothing is right there, waiting for you to put it on. He's not going to make you do it. You know, when my kids were like 1 and 2 years old, I would get them dressed, right? I would pick up the clothes and say, this is what you're wearing. And I would put it on them. Can I tell you, I don't do that with my kids anymore. They're old enough that they have to make their own decisions. Now, there are still times I'm saying, nope, you're not wearing that. Go back and try again. I'm still given oversight. Christ will give you oversight, but he's saying, here it is. You choose. Are you going to wear it and walk in it? Or are you going to go do your own thing? If you're doing your own thing, you can't be his bride. He has a really high standard. And there's no compromise, right, Pastor Darius? If you missed Lighthouse Connection Saturday, you missed it. One of the things Pastor Darius said is when the church compromises, the enemy wins. It's not a compromise for the enemy. He's won. Because God will not take less than what he requires. God has no compromise, none. You either meet his standard, which he will help you to meet, or you walk out and do your own thing. And then you're serving the enemy. There's no in between. But if you're not there yet, let me tell you, keep striving because, like I said, he'll keep teaching and showing and giving you. If you're making the effort, if you're trying, if you're saying, this is what I want, but I keep messing up, keep trying. You'll get it. If your heart is saying, I want to prepare myself for Christ, then keep doing it. He doesn't cut us off because we make a mistake. He cuts us off when we say we don't want it. And sometimes we don't say it with our words, but we say it with our actions. You can sound really good and say, yes, I love Christ, I want Christ, but you're turning around and you're purposely doing your own thing. He knows. He knows the truth. And he will help us as long as we really want to be helped. I'm so thankful for that. So who is the bride of Christ? Everyone who submits to him. Everyone who's making herself ready with what he's given us to make ourselves ready. Not just women, but also men. Number two, the bride of Christ is also those who are fully committed to Christ. I don't know if any of you watch John Bevere. He's one of my favorite preachers. And he has often started doing videos. So when he preaches, he'll have his team make a short video clip. And one of the videos, and I'm going to show one later, but not this one. I just want to tell you about this one. He did a video clip of a man who's proposing. So he gets down on his knee, and he's talking to his fiance and asking her, well, his girlfriend, asking her to marry him. And she says, oh, yes, I'm so excited. This will be great. I will fully commit my life to you except for once a week. Once a week, you know, I have to go do my own thing with my other guys. And he's like, what? No, that's not okay. That's not how this works. And she's like, what do you mean? You're not going to give me once a week? Like, that's not even asking very much. And she's like, okay, fine. How about once a month? How about every once a year? And he's like, no. If you're committing to me, you're committing to me everything. And church, if we see that, we think it's ludicrous, right? Like, how could a woman not plan to commit everything to the man she's marrying? But church, how many times do we do that to Christ? And we say we're fully committed, except when we're doing this, or we're doing that, or we're hanging out with these people. That's not acceptable to him. He wants full commitment, that you're leaving the world behind. 2 Corinthians 11:2 shows us, as Paul is speaking to the church, and he says, I'm jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself, because I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, which is Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. Why was Eve deceived? Because she entertained a conversation she should not have been entertaining. As soon as that serpent started talking about God in ways that were not godly, she should have turned and walked away. In church, we still do the same thing. We still sit and listen to things that we don't need to be listening to. We will sit and watch things on the television that we should not be watching. And God says, are you fully committed to me? Or are you partly committed to me? I'm expecting purity, and I'll help you get there. But you've got to be willing to prepare yourself. You've got to be willing to submit to my authority. And that's not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Every day of your life. But again, it's not a hardship. It's a love. If I love you, Lord, then I don't want to do anything that hurts your heart. I don't want to invite anything into my home that's going to make you uncomfortable, because I'm married to you. Just like with my earthly husband, I wouldn't bring something in that he's like, I don't like that. I don't want that. Same thing with Christ. He has the right to say, stop entertaining that. Let's leave that alone. So who is the bride of Christ? We're submitted to Christ. We're giving up the things of the world, and we're putting on those clothes that are bright and pure. He's granted us clothing that is bright and pure. So let me ask you this, those that have been around the church world for a little while. Does the church look like we're wearing some bright, pure, clean clothes? Is that what the world sees when they look at us? What does the world see? Too often, they see gossip. I love, again, Wednesday night, Brother Dilts shared, and he came up and said, you know, there used to be a day when you had to pay a long-distance fee if you called from Findlay to Cary. Anyone remember those days? So, I forgot, Caleb told me to hold my mic down here. Sorry, Caleb. But he said that there was a day when they changed it. And so Lady of the Church came to his wife, Sister Dilts, and said, hey, I can call you now all the time because it doesn't cost us any money to do that. But Sister Dilts was a woman of God. And what she said is, as long as you're not calling me to gossip, you go right ahead and call. But if you're calling me to gossip, don't you even pick up that phone. And Brother Dilts said the woman never did call. There is no place for gossip. If you have a problem with me, and you will, I'm sure, come and talk to me. Don't go talk to everybody else about me. Come and have a conversation with me about it. I would like to hear what you have to say, because I'm working on me. God's working on me. He's not done with me yet. So you can help me by having a conversation. But you don't help me by going and having a conversation with everyone else about me. And I can tell you I'll do the same. I'm not going to go talk about you to other people in this congregation. If I have something to say to you, I'll say it to you. That's what God expects from his church. And then we're looking pure and holy and righteous. The other thing I see in the church world that is not bright and pure clothes is a little bit of pride, which is ironic because when you're wearing nice clothes, sometimes you do feel a little proud, right? Like, I got this new dress, I look good. But the garments that Jesus gives us, we aren't prideful because we understand we didn't earn them. We didn't deserve them. And so it is just such an honor. There's no place for pride. But you recognize when you have the revelation that you are only who you are because of Christ, there's nothing to be proud about. I can look at anyone in this world and say, hey, you can be right where I'm at. Let me show you. It's just Jesus. That's all it is. It's nothing I did. I just accepted it. There's no room for pride in the church. Because you're not all that great. I'm not all that great without Christ. So the next question is, so how do we become the bride of Christ? He's given us these options, these things that we need. How do we walk in that? And this is not the fun part, because it's a refinement process. Every trial that you go through, that's helping to purify you. Every hardship you have, Christ wants to use that to purify you. And our problem is that we don't do it right. We go through complaining and grumbling about it, saying, oh, poor me, why did this happen to me? Instead of saying, God, what do you want me to learn through this? What are you doing in me through this? And I heard it was John Bevere who said this, that you can't make the wilderness shorter. God's plan to take you through that refinement process, you can't quicken it, but you can make it a lot longer. And that's where I fear that the church world is. We're making this refinement process way longer than it needed to be. The children of Israel could have reached that promised land really quick. Like what, within a year? Is what God had planned, but it took them 40. And they didn't receive it. They died off because they couldn't get it. The refinement process is the process it takes. You have to walk through it, but how? How are you walking through it? And it's not easy, I'll tell you. Because there are times I go to God and say, God, I know I'm messing up. I know I'm not doing this right. I know I'm not thinking right in this. You're going to have to help me. But he will. He will transform the way you think if you keep coming to him and allowing him to purify you. You have to be willing to go through that process. Don't go through it kicking and screaming. Go through it understanding he's doing something in me. And the verse I love in Job chapter 23:10 says, he knows where I'm going. God knows where I'm going. He knows what he has planned for me. But he knows I can't get there the way I am. He knows where I'm going, and when he tests me, I will come out as pure gold. So this is the video we do have, hopefully back there, and this is John Bevere, and one of his sermons, he showed this video, and I love it. It's just about the refinement process, so take a look.
You want to know how gold is purified? It's ground down, beat down, then it's thrown into a furnace. Melted down by a 2,000-degree fire. The heat increases. Impurities begin to surface. Things you never saw before, they appear. You scrape away these impurities, and what are you left with? Refined, pure gold. The trials you face as a human being are the furnace. Designed to remove the impurities in us, so the only thing that remains is what was placed at the core of us. God's nature and character. Some of you are in the furnace right now. All you see is the fire. All you feel is the heat. Each day feels like a struggle, and you want to give up. You want to hit the snooze button. You want to give up on that marriage. You want to quit that job, take the easy way out. But you weren't created for easy. You were created for victory. When the fires of life are raging, keep going. And always remember, on the other side of pain, on the other side of trial, is your promise.
I love that. There's no shortcut. You have to go through that refinement process because he's preparing us. We're not worthy of him. And the only way we can get worthy is for him to refine us and purify us and purge us. And that comes through trials. Have you ever heard that phrase that she married up or he's out of her league? People use that when they're looking typically at physical appearance and they think people don't look right together. But in reality, spiritually, Jesus Christ was so far out of our league. And we could do nothing to make ourselves worthy. But he said, I'll do it. I'll do it in you if you're willing to go with me and walk through me with this process. So my last question is, why is this even important? Why do we today in 2024 need to understand that we're the bride of Christ? People don't talk about it a lot. People don't preach about it a lot. Why does it even matter? And this is the part that the Holy Spirit spoke to us today. It's about reproduction. Because the bride carries the seed of reproduction. And God wants to do things through his church that he can't do until we're able to handle it. I'll tell you, Pastor and Joe and I, we just kind of sit and dream with God sometimes, and we see things that he wants to do here that we're not ready for yet. And I want to bring a little bit of clarity because Pastor Joe said we're waiting on God, which sometimes is true. And I know that he would agree with the statement is a lot of times, though, God's waiting on us because we're prolonging this process way longer than it had to be. And so the question I want to ask you today is, are you willing to submit to Christ? Are you willing to do it his way and not your way? Are you willing to go through that purification process? That is so hard. It's not convenient to see all of your impurities start coming to the surface. It's not easy to think, I'm not as good as I thought I was. But that's what needs to happen. We carry the seed, and if we want to reproduce in this world the right way, reproduce something that's good and righteous, we've got to figure this out. And I want to share some statistics. The Gallup polls say that nearly all religious groups are seeing a decline in church attendance right now, which tells me there's a decline in people who are being Christians because Christians go to church, right? Christians want to go to church, right? Yes. So if there's a decline, it's because there's less Christians out there today. He said that 20 years ago, 42% of adults in America attended church weekly. 42%. 10 years ago, it dropped down to 38%. So it's a few less. But now we're down to 30%. Only 30% of adults in this world are attending church regularly. Could it be because the church has nothing to offer? Because we don't look like the bride of Christ. We don't act like the bride of Christ. We're not the bride of Christ. And here at the Lighthouse, we want to be the representation that Christ wants us to be to this world. And so we've got to get this right. I want to end with this song, and they're going to play it. And Twyla Paris, it's an old song, so it's an old style, but the words are so beautiful. And Twyla Paris wrote this song, and she actually shares her testimony that we're going to listen to. Because the other thing we need to understand is I'm not the bride of Christ alone. It's collective. It is all of us together. It's the body of Christ together he's coming back for. And so it is so important that we learn how to be one in unity. And so we're going to listen to the song, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity. And I know it's getting late, but I believe it's important to take time to let God speak to you and to ask him, God, is there anything in me that needs to change? Am I submitting to you the way that you want me to submit? So go ahead and take a listen to this song. If you'll all just stand with me.
Something that God began speaking to me about a few years ago was loving my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And I've always tried to do that, and I've always believed in unity in the body of Christ. And yet it seemed like the Lord was planting this special seed of an emotional, actually a familial love, that I was beginning to love my brothers and sisters in the body in the same way that I loved my natural brothers and sisters and my mom and dad. And he began to show me in an even greater way than I had understood before that we are to be truly a reflection of him. And one of the greatest ways that we can reflect Jesus Christ as his body is by serving the world and one another and our Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And he was our greatest example of service. So I'd like to ask you to sing with us this song, How Beautiful.
I'm asking musicians to come back after the song. Go ahead and play. And right now, let's just take a time to seek the Lord. And so if you want to kneel at the altar, stand at the altar, kneel at your seat, stand at your seat, whatever you need to do to get into a place of conversation with God. So everybody, let's come. And if anyone does not know Christ, I would love to pray with you. So come and get me, and I will pray with you if you want to accept Christ as your Savior.
so true, so powerful in all you do.
end by singing that bridge that even when I don't see it, he's working. And how many of you know that that's what he's doing in us? Through the trials and the storms, we don't even realize what he's doing. But it's a beautiful, beautiful process. And he is faithful. So let's sing that.
I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
Let's hear you sing it. Father, we just come before you and we're so thankful for who you are. We are only who we are because of who you are. We're so thankful for the opportunity that you have given us to be your bride, to be a part of what you're doing, to walk in your kingdom authority. God, let us represent you well in our everyday life. In every relationship, in every situation we encounter, let us represent you well. And God, I thank you that you don't leave us in our mess, but you pull us up to where you are. God, let our light shine for you in this city, in this region, in this state, in this world. Let people see you when they see us. And God, I am just so thankful for who you are. I just pray that you'll go with each and every one of us, be in each home and each family. Continue to lead and guide us, and Lord, help us to submit to you well. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Mother's Day, and have a beautiful day, and let your light shine wherever you go today. Amen.